On the agenda today, we've got a review of the W3C TPAC meeting, and then we're basically going to have pretty much a free discussion on where our priorities should be next. We learned a lot of things at W3C TPAC. A number of things seem like they're going to be move faster than we were ready for them to move, so we should discuss them and figure out exactly how this group is going to coordinate the work with both the web payments IG and a number of other groups that kind of came out of the woodwork saying that they're interested in some of the stuff that this group is working on. Are there any other updates or changes to the agenda? Is there anything else that people would like to talk about specifically on the call today? Okay, if there isn't, we can jump into the first agenda item, which is basically a review of the W3C TPAC meeting. Here's a link to the minutes. These are now public minutes, meaning that we pass them by the people that were in attendance at the face-to-face. We gave them a week to make any corrections if they wanted to make corrections. There was only one correction that was made. So feel free to share these minutes as broadly as you'd like to at this point. I'm going to run down the credentials face-to-face meeting first, very quickly, and then if folks have any questions, specifically, Sunny or Nate, if you have any questions related to, what people said with respect to the Badge Alliance or, other things that may not be clear, please feel free to ask us to clarify at that point. We had, let's see, so I'm looking at this link right now. There. More people, so the Credentials Community Group meeting was kind of sandwiched between the beginning and the end of the web payments IG meeting. So it was nice because everyone in the web payments IG was able to get some background on what we're doing with the credentials meeting, and that got a number of people interested in joining the credentials meeting to kind of learn more about what we're doing. So the turnout was great for the web payments IG meeting. Typically, a new group's turnout is probably around, like, let's say around 12 to 15 people. That's a good turnout for the first face-to-face. The Web Payments IG meeting had at its peak 48 people in the room. So between 38 to 48 people in the room, which is fantastic turnouts. There's a lot of interest there. And the credentials face-to-face meeting had, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It had around 15 people in the room, which is again really great and kind of unheard of for a face-to-face a CG face-to-face meeting, which tend to be fairly unofficial. There were many more people that we met throughout W3C TPAC that wanted to be there, but they were committed to meeting in other groups at that time. So we had folks from, for example, we had folks from Deutsche Telekom, from VeriSign, from Federal Reserve, from Internet Society, Paygate, Rabobank, ETS, Credit Trust, Target, and we had a couple of so we had someone from Mozilla jump in very briefly over IRC, and then some folks that had been involved in standards work at W3C since for 15 plus years. So we had a good group of people there.
Sorry to interrupt, Manu, but it
Go
was Walmart, not Target. Was there somebody?
ahead. Daniel Buchner is from Target.
Oh, okay.
Matt
I'm sorry.
is from Walmart, and
Okay,
I
I'm
don't
sorry.
remember Matt being in the group. I don't remember Matt being there. Maybe I was
I'm sorry, you were
incorrect.
talking about the credentials. I'm sorry, I thought you're jumping back and forth between the web payments one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm talking. Yeah, I'm
Okay.
talking about the Credentials Community Group meeting right now. The people that were at the Web Payments IG meeting were, I mean, there were a lot more people. A lot of interesting names there. I think. I'll try and share the link to that those minutes as well. Those are public now as well. But yeah, I mean, it was good to have all those people. Everyone was very engaged in the discussion, meaning that, it wasn't just a presentation of the work we were doing. In fact, our agenda was pretty much blown out of the water in the first 30 minutes because so many people wanted to kind of talk about basic alignment. Are credentials what we think it is? Does the web need them? All that kind of stuff. So the vast majority of what we discussed revolved around things like identity proofing, like how do you prove that a certain person has been proofed in real life, and how do you tie those credentials to that person. We talked quite a bit of the scope about of the credentials community group, the scope of work in this group. We went over the use cases very at a fairly high level. Just pointing them out to people, getting their minds kind of wrapped around the use cases that we've worked on to date in this group. We talked a bit about identifier portability. So this is the stuff that, this is the web DHT stuff. This is the, if this is trying to avoid vendor lock-in with identities and credentials. That whole discussion, and we got pretty deep into the discussion, and we also talked quite a bit about data rights and kind of legacy support for credentialing systems that exist already. So at a very high level, that is kind of what we talked about, and it really did not follow the agenda that we had proposed. Partially, it was because the conversation was going so well that we had rapid alignment with people that were in the room that had never been there. So that usually is a really good indication that we're on the right track, meaning that the thinking that we've been doing here, other organizations were able to jump in, join the discussion, and immediately start contributing rather than it taking them months or weeks or months to get up to speed with all of our terminology and things of that nature. Okay, so that's a really high-level overview. All the details are in the minutes there. I guess at this point, does anybody else that was there, would you want to add things in? Mary or Eric or Brian? Anything I
Sure.
missed?
This is Mary speaking. Not that you missed. I'll just kind of underscore it a slightly different way. On the first point, the point you ended with, I'll begin with, the room was full of people who already knew how to form their next question. And so this was certainly not a room of people who needed any instruction. They already knew the territory, and they already knew how it would fit with whatever they work on, wherever they're coming from. So in that regard, it was very fast moving. Much what you just said, Manu, I think from my perspective, it was mainly that they needed no grounding. There was just immediate discussion. I'll also make the comment that I think Manu was very smart, and in both this CG as well as an overview of credentialing over in the Web Payments IG, he had one particular phrase about identity, and it used the word healthscape. And in both rooms, whenever that word was on the screen, an immediate agreement among the people in the room. And it's not as if he had a long discussion about what's good or bad about trying to solve identity problems. I just would say he communicated very, very quickly. And so in that sense, the scope of what kind of identity credentials we were discussing did not need any debate. So in that regard, I think Manu did certainly all of us a big favor in using that kind of a description. In that group of people, they all knew exactly the history he was referring to. And even though we just reviewed what happened in the credentials community group, I do want to make a point that much of the same concepts were in the Web Payments IG in that people were exposed to the same concepts, just certainly not at that discussion level. Thanks a lot.
Great, thanks, Mary.
This is Brian. I'll just add that in addition, something that kind of surprised me was Even if we didn't necessarily start at the same place, I think there was general consensus about the scope of the CG and what it was trying to attempt and where it would apply, much more so than I was expecting from other horror stories of these kinds of groups. So I think there was a good sense of we're on the right track.
Good. Yeah, thanks, Brian. Yeah, absolutely agreed. I was surprised that there wasn't more arguing about, details and minutiae. Everyone seemed to kind of understand the direction that we were going in, which was great to see, especially since most of the people in the room were completely new to the work. Okay. Anything else that should be mentioned that's important about the meeting that we had, the Credential CG face-to-face meeting? Okay. Maybe we can then talk about some of the outcomes that came out of the Web Payments IG meeting when we discuss credentials next, just to give a bit more background. Let's see. Web Payments IG meeting. So the Web Payments IG meeting, they had invited the Credential CG to come in and present for an hour on what the credentials group was doing. And that was, I think that presentation went really well. In that, by the end of the second day in the Web Payments IG, there was a basic agreement that the Web Payments IG needs to look at credentialing and identity and all those kinds of things. They just didn't, in the two-day face-to-face meeting, the Web Payments IG face-to-face meeting, they didn't pick that work up. We didn't look at the credential stuff that deeply. But the good thing is that there was a lot of overlap between the Web Payments IG and the Credential CG face-to-face, where I think a lot of the discussion we had in the Credential CG face-to-face is going to be fed back into the IG when the IG picks up the problem of, okay, how do we identify the people that are, doing high-value transactions and things of that nature. Most everyone in the IG seemed to get the basic concepts. I mean, we showed them the badge, stuff that Badge Alliance was working on. We talked about the stuff that ETS was interested in. We talked about the AccreditTrust stuff, mainly to show the payments folks that this isn't just a financial industry issue. This has to do with education, healthcare, and government ID as well. So there's a general agreement that there is going to be talk about credentials in the IG. The IG is not, the Web Payments IG is not going to be able to escape that discussion. So that's good. I think now what we do with that knowledge is part of the next part of the discussion on the call, right? So we know that the Web Payments IG is going to discuss the credential stuff in a pretty serious way. What can we do to seed that conversation such that it's productive? Meaning, I think the outcome that we want in this group is some set of deliverables that are standards track. What can we do here to make sure that that's the outcome from the Web Payments IG meeting? But we'll talk about that in a little bit. So that has to do with kind of the Web Payments IG meeting. There were a number of other discussions that happened in the hallway. So W3C, TPAC, hallway discussions, credentials. So there were a number of hallway discussions that myself and a number of other folks had with W3C team and some of the other member companies around credentials, and specifically it was the proposed stack that we have right now has two specifications that are of interest to other groups at W3C. Primarily, it's the graph normalization specification. This is how do you order the information, the JSON LD, in such a way that you can digitally sign it or compare two sets of information. So that it's a very generic technology that can be applied outside of credentials. And the other thing that we discussed quite a bit was the secure messaging specification. So how do you digitally sign a JSON-LD message such that you can deliver it to a recipient and they can verify that the information in there actually came from the person or entity that says, you know, that you think is transmitting it to you. So the social web the social web working group, so this is an officially chartered group at the W3C, has adopted JSON-LD as the core messaging platform, and they want to be able to do digital signatures for that platform. So they're really interested in the secure messaging and the graph normalization spec work that this group also depends on, given the proposed stack that we have today. The web annotations working group, also an official working group at W3C, is interested in those two specifications. And the data activity in general at the W3C, the data activity encompasses linked data, semantic web, you know, publishing of government data online. They're very interested in getting the graph normalization and secure messaging stuff going as well. So those are three different official technical working groups at W3C that have said that they are very interested in those two specifications particularly. And that is a good thing because that is work that the Web Payments IG is not going to have to do, meaning that if the Web Payments IG has a lot on their plate, it's become fairly obvious that they have a huge amount of work on their plate, and anything that we can offload to other working groups or have other working groups say that they're interested in, you know, furthering the development of or providing input on RecTrack documents for example, graph normalization and secure messaging, the more groups we have saying that they want that at W3C, the better. So we were not expecting that to come out of the W3C TPAC, but that's basically what ended up happening. Any questions? Go ahead, Brian.
Yeah, I was going to say, being new to this process, is that just sort of like indicative of support, or is there some process by which we now start sort of tracking dependencies on the goals and the work products of the CG in terms of these other groups and their interest in them?
So it's basically indicative of support, meaning that in order to get, let's say we needed to take those two specifications that exist in both the Web Payments Community Group and the Credentials Community Group, if we wanted to take them onto the RecTrack, we need some group to adopt them. Right, and there are two ways that can happen. The first way is that an existing working group recharters itself to take those work items, or a new group is chartered to take on those work items. And what is most likely going to happen, at least based on the discussions we had at TPAC, is that it's going to be the second thing. There are groups that think that they're going to depend on the work that don't want to get rechartered, because rechartering an official group at W3C can take 3 to 6 months to do. So we don't want to trigger that to happen. But creating a new group could take about 3 months. So during those 3 months, we can work on those specifications in this group, and once the group is chartered, we basically hand the specifications over to the new group. And there's, especially for the graph normalization thing, that is such specialized work that we already pretty much know who's going to be involved in that group, and the only thing we have to do now is get 20 W3C members to approve the official group work. Right, so a lot of the hallway conversation at TPAC had to do with doing front running to get the chairs and the staff contact and everything in place, and we believe we have them in place. And once we have them in place, we can basically ask the W3C membership to approve the official work. So for the graph normalization stuff, we expect a new working group to be created, like a micro working group, something that just appears and disappears within the course of maybe a year to 2 years at most. And the secure messaging spec might have the same kind of thing built around it. Primarily because the spec work is pretty much done. We just need to put it through the proper W3C review process. Did that answer your question, Brian?
Yes, it did. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any confusion? I know this is a fire hose of information for those that are not used to W3C and the way it works. Are there any concerns or questions, or does something just not make any sense at all at this point? Okay. So the next topic basically is what are we going to do with all this information? We have a bunch of stuff floating out there. How is this group going to coordinate the activity to make sure that the outcomes are what we want them to be? So I guess this is planning for next 2 months. So I think that's you have the general information that came out of W3C TPAC at this point. We could do a number of things. We could focus on use cases and requirements, and we can do a number of these things in parallel too. So we could focus on use cases and requirements and refining those so that we can hand that over to the web payments IG when they're ready. To consider those things. It's important to note that the web payments CG, the community group, had a use cases document that looked very much like the credential CG use cases document. And if you look at the use cases that the IG is starting with, they have basically copy-pasted that entire document into their set of use cases. So that looks like it was a fairly successful way of getting use cases into an official IG work item, meaning that they were unofficial as of 2 weeks ago, and today they're an official. They're in an official wiki, and they will most likely work their way into an official document that the web payments IG creates. So focusing on use cases and requirements is important if we want to be able to translate what we've been talking about here into the official work. So when the web payments IG picks up the work, they can look at the credential CG use cases document and say, okay, we agree with 80% of what's in there, and so we'll pull it in. So use cases and requirements is something that we could work on. We also need to have a general discussion about the strategy of creating official work out of the stuff that we're doing right now. For example, we really need to talk about which technology stacks we want to propose to push through the W3C at this point. Is it going to be based on JSON LD and secure messaging in that stack, or are we also going to have some JWT, JSON Web Token, JSON Web Signature, basically the Jose stack, an approach there, or is there a stack that we are currently not looking at all that really needs to be considered and put through the process? And based on that, we need to make sure that we get the right organizations involved, the organizations that are pushing each one of those stacks. We need to get them involved. Not only that, but we also need to run through the 400-plus members at W3C and see which one of those organizations would most likely vote to charter the work officially. So there are a couple of, we've already got commitment from a number of organizations. I think we have 13 organizations committed to most of the credentials specs as we have them today. And so getting another 7 should be fairly trivial, considering that we weren't even trying to get the first 13 at TPAC and we got them. So that's a general discussion this group needs to have. How are we going to, coordinate with the graph normalization work? How are we going to coordinate with the secure messaging work? How are, Badge Alliance and the Credential CG going to coordinate over the next 2 months to make sure that we're going to have to move fast, but at the same point, we don't want to move so fast that we accidentally, split the work in a bad way that we're doing. And we've got another interested party from PESC, a person at the board of directors level there that is very interested in the work that we're doing here. So we need to talk a bit about PESC coordination. Okay, I'm going to stop talking at this point. That's a full brain dump on what's happened. Thoughts, are there any thoughts from folks, anything in addition that we should be working on? Or does anything strike anyone in this group as more important than the other? Ideally, you know, if people want to have an opinion, rate those things from 1 to 10. What's more important, use cases or the graph normalization or getting votes for an official group? All right, so with that, thoughts?
Hey, Manu, this is Sunny.
Hey, Sunny.
I was just wondering, what can you elaborate? You mentioned PESC, the organization. Can you elaborate on like the level of conversation you've engaged with them so far?
I can't until they come and join this meeting. They told me to not really say too much until there is someone from there that is going to be joining this meeting. So once they join,
is it Michael? Michael Stefan.
I can't say.
Okay.
They told me not
Got
to
it.
Say anything.
Okay. All right.
Sorry. I mean, I was hoping they'd be here today, but if they're not here today,
gotcha.
They might be here next week or the week after. It's not like we're going to be waiting a long time to find out.
Yeah. Just a little bit of context on our side. PESC has shown a lot of interest in, you know, digital badges and the standardization work that the Open Badges team has been embarking on. And they had a conference in D.C. in October, and I was invited to speak about the work that we're doing at that PESC conference. And so I'm happy to hear that these efforts are all kind of coming together.
Yep. Yeah, yeah, and I mean they were. I mean, of course they knew about, you know, Badge Alliance and the work that was happening there.
Great.
The W3C stuff was kind of new to them, but hopefully they're up to speed. And they say they, like you said, they seem very interested in it in the general area.
Great. Sounds great. Thanks.
And I think Mark Lubo, who's scribing right now, I can take over scribing for you if you want to add anything more about PESC or if you've had any other conversations with them that could be on the record.
Hi, Manu. I have not had any dialogue with PESC, actually.
Okay.
Sorry, if this is Victoriano talking. Sorry, but I don't know why my call drops from time to time. I had a conversation with an email conversation with Sunny, and I think Manu, you were in CC of my exchange of emails with Sunny, right?
Unfortunately, I can't.
The context of this is, remember how I brought to attention to the credential community group thread that there's a kind of parallel effort that's happening called the Groningen Declaration.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay.
Yes, and Victoriano is basically the person who's viewing the declaration from a very technical implementation perspective. He's the technical mind behind the Groningen Declaration, which is intended to make student data portability, to facilitate student data portability.
That's it. Absolutely right. I'm at the same time
the
technical.
The organization, please?
The organization is the Groningen. I'll type it on the chat. Okay.
Thank you.
That's it.
Thank you.
We are trying to get rid of paper-based university diplomas in a global scale. I was pushed into presidential position or chairperson position of that network because of my connection to the identity federations and electronic identity communities. So I'm, as Sunny said, I'm the technical mind behind all this. And actually, we had a site meeting of another group here in Europe that is called the RS3G. I'm sending that also.
Have it.
Okay. RS3G,
okay,
that means Rome. I hope I'm right. I'm writing. Yeah. Rome Student Systems and Standards Group. And we also had conversations about Open Badge recently, last week in Rome, that we were there. And we are quite interested in following all these activities aligned with the educational use cases. We are, that's it, Digital Student Data Depositories is the thing we are doing in the Groningen Declaration. And we are very interested in that. So that's why I've come to the group, mostly to spy on your conversations, but I didn't want to stay hidden. And actually what I've been learning about your activities, I'm actually very, very interested. So, because we need some technical means of doing this beyond exchanging SAML assertions or overloading SAML, or we did something with CEN, the European Standards Organization. And CEN works very much in a closed way. So you do open standards and then they close them and charge people for using the standards. So we are looking for more open ways of creating standards related to exchanging students' information. So I'm quite interesting here. And well, something that I can say, but is that someone from PESC was in our meeting in Rome, and he was also talking open badges. Nothing else, because they have not joined.
Yeah, okay. Well, welcome to the group, Victoriano. That's fantastic to hear. And I think, I mean, you know, there's a lot of alignment with what you said and the stuff we're working on here. You know, not only here, but, you know, I think in the Badge Alliance. And I think it's, we're seeing quite a bit of convergence. I mean, there have been islands that have been working on the, especially the kind of the educational aspect of this, that are all coming together, and it doesn't seem like there's a lot of conflict at this point. It seems that, you know, everyone basically wants the same thing. And so the you know, what this community group is really focused on is making sure that the technology to do that stuff works and is broadly applicable, not just, you know, in the U.S. or the EU, but around the entire world. And the other reason that, you know, all of us are here is because the W3C standards are all open, patent, and royalty-free. It's not going to, you know, the work that we're doing here is going to be free for the world to use. It's not going to end up behind a paywall of some kind.
That's absolutely great. Actually, we were talking other things like exchanging information about learning opportunities and things like that, and looking for ways to create open standards. And knowing about you, it's been some kind of blessing for our
great
group. So in this time, I couldn't get ready, but I will offer to do a presentation on our activities in a future call. And of course, I think Sunny and Manu, probably you've got an invitation for our meeting in next May here in Malaga.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So if not, probably you will get it through our secretary, because I want to run a technical track and a policy track in that meeting. So probably we will be very happy to have you around.
Great. And yeah, fantastic. I think it would be really help to have a presentation by you in this group so we can all bring ourselves up to speed with what you're doing.
And we have a global reach at the moment, because we have people from Australia, people from South Africa, China is on board, Japan, so all of Europe. So we have actually global outreach in this activity.
Great, great. I'm trying to find something that I can copy and paste from the Groningen Declaration to just give people a good introduction on what it's about. I think that this link here is the best thing that I could find right now. It's basically about the Groningen Declaration. Is that a good starting point for people that are not familiar with the work on this?
I would say yes. If you allow me, I'll move around the website and try to find the right link for the summary of what we are doing. And if not, I will send something over to the list.
Okay.
To the main.
Yeah, that
list.
Would be fantastic. That would be great.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks, Victoriano.
Thanks to you.
And then, you know, let's send a couple of times. Our meetings are at the same exact time every week, or we try to have them every week. So let us know when you're ready to do a presentation on what you're working on.
Okay.
Yep. Next week or week after that would be great.
Yeah, I'll try for next week, because the week after that I will be traveling, and in December I should be on vacation.
Okay, great. Okay, any questions for Victoriano, or I guess people could wait until we do the presentation and do the questions then.
I guess I'm just curious if he's had a chance to look at the use cases to see if there are things that could be added to that based on their needs.
Is that Dave?
No, it's Brian, sorry.
Here are the use cases, credentials, CG use cases. Certainly, I don't know, Victoria, if you've had a chance to look at the use cases yet, but we've certainly not been able to look at the Groningen Declaration and pull use cases from that to put into our use cases document. So that's work that needs to be done still.
Okay. I'll have a look. I've been browsing around your website, but not everything. So I will have a look around the use cases and even share it with our executive committee, and I'll try to get some use case for you if there's not something ready that will cover our activity.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you. Any other comments on general strategy, things that people think we should be working on before, you know, other things? So, for example, if you could pick one thing that we could focus on at this point, what's the most important thing?
Hey, this is Nate. I would, you know, just sort of give a plus one for encouraging the continued development of the normalization spec, as you talked about, and the, you know, secure signatures, you know, making sure that work keeps going forward. That'll help us in badges, I think, and get ready for using them in the spring or so.
Okay.
And that was Dave?
Nate Otto.
I'm sorry.
Manu, this is Eric.
Yep.
Only comment I had was that there was a conversation I had with, I forget the author of Jason LD that you introduced me to. It was
Greg
a side
Kellogg?
Meeting.
Greg
was it Kellogg?
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked to him a little bit about validation. And he indicated to me that there's definitely a need for a JSON-LD version 2.0, and that he was hearing this validation call over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if we had validation, that might solve a lot of the things that the Badge Alliance is struggling with LD.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's just a comment that I took away from the TPAC event.
Yeah, and we actually had I forgot to mention that. So Nate, correct me if any of this is wrong, but Nate's been working on a way to tie the JSON schema stuff to JSON LD so that you can do syntactic validation. I want to differentiate between syntactic validation and semantic validation. Syntactic validation is basically answers the question, is the structure of the document sound? Right. Semantic validation is the meaning of the document sound, and that's a much harder problem to address. So the syntactic validation bit is something that has been floating around in the JSON LD community for a good 2 years now, and it looks like a number of organizations are settling on using JSON schema to do the syntactic validation, which was great. It was really nice to see Nate's solution kind of settle on that as well, because it shows that everyone's kind of going in the same direction. So the question is, how exactly do you do that? What's the best practice for doing that? And there are a couple of different approaches that people have done. One of them is using like JSON LD framing plus JSON schema to do the syntactic validation. Others use Sparkle query engines and some more heavyweight semantic web stuff to figure out if they kind of do syntactic validation. They skip the whole syntactic validation, just jump to semantic validation. So that's certainly a work item that we could look at. My first feeling on that is hesitation, because it is a lot of work. It's not as simple as it may seem on the surface, mainly because there's so many different ways of doing it right now. And usually when you standardize something, you want people to kind of settle down. You want at least, five or six mechanisms out there to exist that have been deployed for a year or two before you try to standardize on it. And I feel we're still at the point where people are producing new ways of doing it. It's important work.
I'm sorry, Matt. My question at a maybe at a 50,000 foot level is by using JSON schema as a methodology, is that going to make implementation or adoption harder or more difficult, or is it it's just a check off? It's not an impediment for us to move forward. That's where I'm going with the question. For the group,
Nate and Sunny might have a different opinion on this, but I don't think it's going to stop us from moving forward. I mean, we can get all of the stack through without doing the whole syntactic validation bit of it, right? But that's not to say that syntactic validation isn't also important. You want to make sure that the data that these systems are generating are syntactically valid. And you want there to be tools like, for example, the HTML5 validator at W3C will tell you whether or not your HTML5 document is a validly formed document or not. We need the same kind of thing for the badges. The Badge Alliance already has a tool that does that, or has had a tool that does that for a specific version, for a couple of versions of the badges. But I think what we're the question I think is, would organizations be okay pushing this through without having the syntactic validation done? And that's really, I'm looking at Nate and Sunny to weigh in with their experience with the open badges stuff on that.
Sure. So this is Nate. We found that that syntactic level of validation would be useful for a lot of things, but we're making it an optional component of all the extensions that people could then add to badges, which are a slightly more formalized way of adding new properties I was describing on the last call for this group 2 or 3 weeks ago. But we're also making it optional for the processors of those documents, where if someone wants to use extended open badges, they're not going to have to do that syntactic validation if they're comfortable just writing semantic validation, to get more precise and using exactly the data they want. I don't feel that if something happens in 2 years and a different mechanism comes up that is you know, very stable, and you know, I think Badges would be well positioned to move to whatever is, you know, becomes accepted in the future. I mean, it's all, once it all becomes JSON LD, it will be much easier to switch around between different techniques of you know, approaching how to validate it.
Yep.
So, you know, we're going to go with this approach for now, and then, you know, if something else comes along that's really cool, that is, you know, that's different, I think we'll be able to adapt to it.
Hey, Nate, do you think it's worth linking to the kind of the deck that you drafted?
Sure, I'll drop in a link to a presentation about what it is we're doing, and we have a call in a couple hours for the Open Badges Standard Group that any of you are welcome to join if you'd like to have more information.
And I'll drop in a link to that call. We're pretty much going to review the content of that deck in that call with the broader community.
Okay. I definitely have I have thoughts and opinions, but unfortunately I'm not going to be able to join the call. But it's we should definitely talk about that. They're all good thoughts and opinions. I think that it's important work, and I think the stuff that Nate has done, at least the stuff that I've seen that Nate has done, is very much along the same path that a number of other companies are going. So what we might do, you know, is, so Nate's basically getting at, from what I gather, Nate, please correct me again if I'm wrong, but you know, this isn't an absolute requirement for a version 1.0 of the specs, and anything that we're unsure of right now, we should definitely not put on the standards track, because once we standardize it, it is done. Like it is there, and that if the standard takes off, the half-life of a lot of W3C specs can be, you know, 10 to 15 years. I mean, if you look at HTML, they have a very, very long half-life. So the one word of caution is that, you know, this the validation stuff, everyone still has kind of a different way of doing it, and nothing has really emerged as a best practice. So what we could do with the first iteration is say, hey, if you want to do syntactic validation, do it in this way. We're not saying it's standardized or done, but at least a bunch of smart people got together and thought about the problem. So don't try and invent something new, just do this. And what we might end up doing, and I think, Nate, this is kind of what your proposal does as well, is in the JSON-LD context, or the JSON, you know, the vocabulary that we're using, we can specify a field that says validation, and we could even say be very specific. We could say, like, credentials validation 2014, to say that, you know, if you know, in the year 2014 we decided that things should be validated in this way, and if you know and we think this is a best practice, so if you want to provide a validation mechanism, you can use this very specific term to describe the validator. And what that allows us to do, since we're using JSON-LD, is if in 2016 we figure out the year 2016 we figure out that we want to do something very different, we can do it without breaking, you know, all the deployments that exist out there already. The downside, of course, is that people will have to implement two types of validators, the 2014 validator and the 2016 validator. But, you know, that's better. Doing that is better than standardizing on something that doesn't work for anyone, or that is going to end up failing in the year 2016 and we have this big nightmare backwards compatibility issue.
Manu, just one quick question that I would like your input on is it okay to have versioned context files? Like, and if we create a context file for 1.0 and then create one for 1.1 and have them be almost identical but different in that validation component, and then use that as sort of an indicator in an issued badge of which version of the context it, you know, it's obeying?
Yep, okay. That's exactly how exactly how a number of companies are dealing with versioning. What a lot of companies are doing, though, is they're doing major versions. So you'd have a V1 context and a V2 context. You can always add new things to the context. Like the V1 context, you should never, ever, ever remove anything from the context. So, you know, you can always, you know, if we release version 1.1.0 and then version 1.1 is just a bunch of additions, you just add it to the context. That's totally fine, right? And that's how that's how we expect to do non-breaking upgrades. And then every, let's say, 2 to 3 to 5 years, you will have you might have a breaking change, and then you would make that like the V2 context. Did that make
sense? Okay, cool. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so there's definitely an upgrade. There's an upgrade path. We want to do the minimum amount of work to get an official standard. We don't want to be, you know, we don't want to pull too many work items into the first set, which is why we need to have this discussion this week and next week. What are we going to focus on? What's the bare minimum that we can focus on that will lead us to an acceptable level of success for version 1.0? Any other thoughts on focus or technical work items that we should be considering?
I just think the this is Brian. The specs that are largely done, like the graph normalization one, would mm-hmm. probably be a good initial focus to just sort of like get it, put it to bed as far as we're concerned, and then move on. So, you know, it'll be some things to check off. So I second that initial focus.
Okay. Can anyone think of any other specs that is not in our stack right now? Let me find our spec stack right now and see if there's. Meetings, no. Presentations. Sorry, this is a buried link.
Speaking for the scribe, I appreciate the break.
Okay. Okay, so there's our, in IRC is our current spec stack. It's an SVG document. And right now, the spec stack is kind of split. We've got kind of the open badges stuff sitting on Jose and JWT and JWS. And that's like the last discussion we need to have on aligning the two technology stacks. So I think, you know, Sunny, Nate, you know, Badge Alliance and the Credential CG just has to have that discussion at some point. I don't know. Unfortunately, I've been out of the loop on the Badge Alliance discussions. I mean, if you're adopting JSON-LD, then kind of the natural path is to also adopt the normalization and secure messaging stuff. But I don't know if there's any pushback on moving off of the Jose stack, the JWS, JWT stuff. Any thoughts on that, Sunny or Nate?
Sunny, you could probably speak to this a little more precisely than I can. How many badges in the backpack percentage-wise are actually signed? It's very, very few in my estimation.
That is correct. I don't know exactly the number, but I think we were, after introducing sign badges, we were kind of surprised at the low level of adoption of those. Because so many community members, we did that because so many community members were like, we need this to add a level of kind of security to the badge. Once mm-hmm. we introduced it, we were surprised to find out that, you know, the uptick in adoption was rather low.
Mm. Do you think that's because it was difficult, the tooling didn't exist to do it, or do you think it was because it was just a false requirement? People thought that they needed it, but in the end they didn't really need it.
I actually think it's a combination of both. I think it's kind of there's a psychological thing, like, hey, there's an option to have a signed badge. That means that badges, if I want to do that, then I'll be able to have more secure badges. I think there's like a kind of like a security theater component to mm-hmm. some of this, which we talked about with the community too. And then on the other hand, I do think that, you know, implementation, the tooling thing probably could have been a little bit more, the barrier to kind of getting entry and all that stuff, I think, was quite high.
Okay. Okay. So what I'm hearing is that there probably wouldn't be a lot of pushback if we said, hey, the digital signature mechanism has changed. Like, there'll still be legacy support for those that want to support it, but since there's such a low number of signed badges, you wouldn't expect there to be a lot of pushback if we said, you know, we were using signature mechanism A, you know, for the last year or two, and now we're switching over to signature mechanism B.
I think there would be inevitable pushback a little because we found that security to be such, like, there is, like, a theatrical element to it, but I do feel like in terms of pragmatic implementation part, like the reality is that not many people actually went ahead and implemented it.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I think probably only the couple issuers who did implement it would be a little bit annoyed if we switched to something else, but I don't even know any of them who did.
Yeah.
Okay. Because this is like one of the key things that I'm most concerned about as far as alignment. Like, if we get this knocked out, we're like Badge Alliance and the Credential CG and a whole bunch of other W3C official working groups are completely aligned on the stack. And once we get that, we can start pushing ahead with that direction. So my plus one vote is to try and figure out how to align on that, and if we can, to try and help Badge Alliance as much as we can. Like, this Credential CG help Badge Alliance as much as we can if we decide to use, you know, the JSON-LD stack to try and help convince the existing issuers that this is a really good direction, and it's backed by a very large, you know, it's backed by
mm-hmm.
communities that are outside of the education space as well. Okay. So maybe
great.
Next week. Do you think like next week we should talk about that?
During this call?
Yeah, during this call. To see
sure.
what, you know, I don't know if that's too soon or you need to kind of do some background you know, discussion in the Badge Alliance standards.
You know
group.
What? Yeah. Let's put it on, keep it on the agenda for next week, and if we're not ready to talk about it, when you send up the agenda, I'll let you know.
Okay. The other thing I think that's really important to talk about is the endorsement stuff, because when we've the terminology is different. In the Badge Alliance, when Badge Alliance says endorsement, you mean something different from when we use the term endorsement in the Credential CG. So we also need to kind of align on that terminology and figure out what, I mean, I think there are two separate use cases there that are both really good. We just need to figure out how we're going to align on that terminology. But those are the only two things that are kind of floating out there, I think, between.
I'll take a look at that, Manu, on endorsements. I'll take a look at that, but I don't think they're really that far apart. The one that's in the use cases document for this group is a little bit more technical, I think, than the description that the Badge Alliance working group put together. They have a big, like, white paper that they put together describing, you know, like, all those sorts of things about endorsement. But it boils down to a very similar technical, discussion.
Right. Okay, that sounds good. Okay, we're out of time today. Sorry that the call's gone over by 5 minutes. Any last words before anything that we should know about for the rest of this week before we end the call?
No, just I'm wondering if there's anything that needs to be done before next week, or we'll just meet up next week then.
If everyone, great question. If everyone could send some thoughts to the Credential CG mailing list on what they think the priorities should be and order them. Be very specific. You know, this is the number one priority. This is the number two priority, you know, XYZ. So if everyone could send their thoughts to the mailing list, that would really help move this discussion along. Because once we figure out what the priorities are, we're just going to go down that list and try and execute on those. Okay, thanks everyone for the call today and the great discussion. We're going to meet again next week at the same time and place. Have a great week, and we'll chat again next week.
All right, take care.
Thanks,
bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.